Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 82 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Before we get into today's topic, just want to acknowledge, sorry we weren't around last week. As we mentioned, if you saw our Instagram post, you may not follow us on Instagram. But we took the week off. Obviously, restrictions around lockdown have started to lift where we live a little bit. So we were able to see some family over the week in a socially distanced capacity in the backyard because the weather was nice. And then we obviously had some Father's Day stuff to see Rich's dad and stepdad. So we did take a conscious break last week. I think now that we're getting the opportunity to get out, not just us, but people in general, it's important that we prioritize safely getting out a little bit because it's been over 3 months in the house and everybody needs a break from that. But I think there was something you wanted to mention as well.
Yeah, so we had an email last week from someone in a long distance relationship. They've been listening to some of our episodes and they said they really need some support and they were asking if we offer any support. So we just wanted to, you know, for anyone who's not aware that you can work with us. We work with couples who need some additional support, need some help or some guidance at whatever stage of the relationship you're in. So we currently do have some space to work with some more people. If you feel like that would be beneficial, just get in touch with us.
A little bit of space. I think it's important just to highlight, you know, we are not therapists. This is from a coaching perspective, going off of our experience and, you know, how we approach things. So it's just important to bear in mind the distinction between those two things. But yeah, I think that's it in terms of admin. So today's topic, we wanted to talk about loneliness in relationships and what can cause loneliness and when you should be concerned and when maybe you shouldn't be concerned. But just to point out, you know, this could be relevant to long distance relationships. Absolutely. There's feelings of loneliness involved there, but also in, you know, face-to-face normal relationships, whether you just live in the same town or whether you live in the same
house,
apartment, whatever, loneliness can creep in. And I think it's important to understand when it's a problem, when it's maybe codependency, and maybe when it's just natural changes in the relationship. So I think talking about long distance, first of all, of course you're going to feel lonely because the person is physically not there with you. However, you shouldn't feel emotionally alone in your long distance relationship because you should be talking constantly and communicating effectively and consistently with each other. So I think there's a couple different things
to
play in there.
Well, not everyone can, though. If you're a military spouse or whatever, then that constant communication, it's going to be impossible.
Yes, I think if there's loneliness that you feel should be addressed because something can be done about it, and that might be that the person has plenty of time to talk to you, but they don't, or there just seems to be some barriers in your communication, then those are things you want to address. However, if the situation is that maybe one of you's in the military or, you know, works weird shifts and you know, you're not able to communicate as regularly as you want to, that's something you have to work around and kind of accept to an extent that there are going to be times of the day where you will feel lonely because you can't contact that person or hear from them or speak to them or whatever. But I think if it is a situation where you feel like something could be done, maybe the effort isn't there or just maybe they don't communicate the same way you do, then I think it's important to take a step back and think about what is it about the current structure of your communication that's making you feel lonely. And this, again, this is specific to long distance. What do you think about that? Like,
well, so I think, you know, we've got 81 other episodes. There's going to be, our regular listeners will know, like, you know, this to me comes back to when we always say that your relationship shouldn't complete you or your partner shouldn't complete you. They should complement you. So if you're in a relationship because you're hoping it's going to make up for feelings of inadequacy or you need someone in your life because you don't like your own company or, you know, any like along those lines, I think you're going to have a harder problem with this. And, you know, so the reality of it is there are going to be times, particularly the longer relationship goes on, where one of you is going to be less present for any number of reasons. Like, recently I've been really busy with work, which means I'm around less than I was the month before that. It's nothing to do with me not wanting to be around you or spend less time with you. It is the way it is. You have two choices, really. You know, you can either just kind of say, okay, that's the way it has to be for the time being, and you know why it is, or you can take it really personally and act like it's because I don't want to be around you. You know, just where it's inevitable that there are going to be times when, over time, it will be both of you, but probably one at a time, you're going to just be less present. And if you're in that relationship because you need that person to make you feel good, you're going to have a much, much harder time of it.
Yeah, but there's a perfect example of this, actually. So, yeah, Rich has started a different business venture, been really, really busy, and I've been completely supportive with it and understanding. So working later nights and things like that, I get it. That's fine. Happy to support that. But we had a situation, an occurrence this week where we had something special to celebrate. We'd set the evening aside to do something nice together. And then about half an hour into our evening, Rich had an urgent work situation that pulled him away from the night. So that I felt differently about because that was designated time. So I think that in this situation where, you know, your partner is less present because something else is demanding their attention, and it's nothing against you, it's just a natural part of life, like work or school or whatever it might be, that's where you should be supportive, but also speak up for yourself if you feel like that kind of generosity and support is being, I'd hesitate to say abused, but that's the best word I can think of. So I said something after that, you know, we had planned this and I was really looking forward to it, and now most of the evening's gone because you were unavailable, and that hurts me, and it makes me feel like, you know, it doesn't matter, or there needs to be more boundaries or something like that. So mm-hmm. We had a quick chat about boundaries and what I expect and what he needs, and it was fine. You know, it didn't become a big argument. I was definitely upset and hurt, but, you know, I think that's probably the healthiest way I've ever handled a situation like that. But that just comes from growth and getting to know each other, and also, you know, doing this podcast, I think, really sheds a lot of light for each of us on what the other thinks and expects and needs. So, yeah, I think it's knowing when it's actually a problem and when it's something that you need to either adjust to or actually speak up about. And I think you're totally right. There's two ways to react, but it's not always going to be reacting the same way over and over again. Sometimes you will need to say, hold on a minute, you know, there needs to be a boundary here, or we need to talk about this because that part isn't right.
I mean, but that example wasn't so much you feeling lonely as the boundary itself. And like,
well, I did feel lonely in the
moment. Yeah, you did. But like, loneliness is going to come in different forms too. If you're, you know, we know of long distance couples in particular who communicate literally all day. Like, they're on FaceTime for 20 odd hours a day, you know. They're more likely to feel lonely if one of them is not available for a little while. But then you've got couples who might feel lonely, but like in a different scenario, you know, they're not talking as often as that, but you feel lonely if you don't hear from them once a day, or you feel lonely if you live together and one of you has to go away.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to feel lonely for all different reasons, and I think each of them is valid, but maybe how reasonable it is will vary. You know, it's very reasonable if, let's say, I had to go away for a week and you were home on your own for a week, yeah, loneliness is going to be quite almost inevitable in that situation.
Yeah.
If you're kind of pining because they're gone to see a movie and they're away for an hour, that's the complete opposite end of the spectrum. And again, it's not to say that it's invalid, but it may be an indication that you're too dependent.
Yeah, and I think, from a long distance perspective, you have to, one, accept that loneliness is going to be a part of your life because you're not physically together, like we touched on before. Two, you need to really reflect as to whether, when you do feel lonely, if it's kind of the appropriate feeling or if there's something that you could do about it. So you might find, for example, that, like Rich said, you know, one scenario wouldn't be the right response is, like you said, if they're, oh, I'm gonna go to a movie with my friends tonight, I'll talk to you tomorrow when I get back later or whatever. If you're feeling like kind of bummed out and sad and lonely for that, that's probably not right. If it's, you know, something has entered their life, whether that's a friend or a hobby, and it begins to take more and more and more and more time of their life and takes that time away from you, and you're getting a lot less time with them, then that's worth saying, hey, I know you've got this new thing that means a lot to you. I don't want to take that away from you, but you know, the kind of decrease in time that we're talking isn't okay with me. Can we talk about this? And, you know, it's just analyzing the situation and kind of analyzing your feelings really closely, because something that can happen in long distance is that your feelings start to not be so logical. I mean, feelings aren't always logical anyway, but in a long distance relationship, particularly for women, because we sometimes have a little bit harder time controlling our emotions, and that's not to be sexist. That's just kind of my experience with myself and the women I'm related to and friends and stuff. So it's a lot easier for us to get carried away with thoughts. And we're sitting here thinking like, God, he's off having fun. He just must not miss me at all. He just doesn't care. He could be at home talking to me right now, but he's off with his friends and I'm really lonely and he doesn't miss me at all. Well, that's probably not true. Guys are very different. And I think, you know, guys probably see the situation as, hey, we talked this morning. I can't see her anyway. My friends want to go out to the movies, so I'm going to go to the movies with my friends. And there's actually nothing wrong with that. But girls can take that quite personally, I think. And I think we experience a little bit of that in our relationship. I certainly never, when we were long distance, I mean, I certainly never told you off for it. But I felt that like, oh God, he's off doing something with a friend. And what I usually did is I try to make my own plans in that time so that I didn't think about it too much. And yeah, it comes back to what you were saying earlier about making sure that you are a person apart from being that person you are in a couple and having your own interests and things, to where, you know, maybe if you think, oh, he's going to a movie, like, oh, okay, so we're not going to talk tonight, but that's great. That gives me time to do this or see that person or do this thing. And you just have to be really honest with yourself about whether what you're feeling is actual loneliness because you're being neglected, or loneliness because that's just a situation, or loneliness because you're taking things a little bit too, or you're being a little bit too sensitive.
Yeah.
But I think it can be a lot more complex when you are living together or in a face-to-face relationship, maybe living in the same area, because someone can be physically there, but also incredibly not present, if that makes sense. And we hear about this particularly in people that have been married for a really long time, that they, you know, they just feel like they're a roommate, or they feel very lonely. They don't even feel like they're in a relationship anymore. And that's something very different. And that's more the topic we wanted to dig into today. But yeah, I think it's vital to understand that we grow as a couple together, couples, not just me and Rich, but we also grow as individuals. You know, over time, we find things that excite us as individuals, and sometimes that won't be something you share with your partner, and that's fine. Sometimes you discover a hobby together, and you really bond over that and get into it. So maybe some couples play tennis. Maybe for some it's traveling. For some it's water skiing. You know, whatever it is, wine tasting. There's things that you are going to do together, but then there might be something that you really enjoy that's just not of interest to your partner, and then that's your own thing to enjoy. And I think sometimes when we find these independent pursuits, it can feel like loneliness. And we have an episode about growing apart as a couple, mm-hmm. which is probably a good one to listen to if you're particularly interested in this whole topic. But you have to kind of control your emotions, don't you, when it comes to that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's the romantic ideal is that when you're in a relationship, you become one entity. And you know, you don't really, like, you have moments where you're a one entity, but you're still two individuals, and the thing we always advocate is that you don't lose your identity. And, you know, you just, it's sad, you see so many couples who, or individual, you know, you see relationships where the people just give up their hobbies, and, you know, everything that interests them, they stop doing them, just they can spend all their time together. And, you know, there's something that sounds nice and romantic about that, but it means you're going to be an unfulfilled person. You're giving up everything that makes you you. It's not, in my opinion, the best way to make the other person want to stay attracted to you, because very quickly it's like, oh, well, you're just always with me, and you're not, there's nothing interesting about you anymore. You know, so it's like, I think it's really important that you don't you don't sacrifice yourself for the relationship. You have to have you as a couple and you as a person.
And I think there's many reasons for that, but two that I think are particularly important. And one is that, yes, you want to be your own whole person anyway, and you want to find fulfillment for your own self. And that's really important. So that's kind of the first reason, just, you know, have living a full life, being more than just your role as a spouse or whatever that is. But there's another reason too, and it's probably not very popular to talk about, and some people might see it as a little bit doom and gloom, but heaven forbid something should happen to your partner or in your relationship. And, you know, I always talk about, you know, investing in yourself and being comfortable with who you are and being happy with your own company, because at the end of the day, you as a person and who you are and your beliefs, that's all you have. Everything else can be taken away. Your home, your family, your pets, like, hope to God it never happens, but it could. You know, we could end up not together for a variety of reasons. Something had happened to one of us. One of us could completely change our minds about something. Another person could come into the picture. Like, there's any myriad of reasons that a relationship could end. And I think we owe it to ourselves to ensure that we're going to be okay in life no matter what happens to us. And part of that is ensuring that you are a, you know, independent, not like to where you don't need your partner. Everyone needs their partner, but, you know, that you can function as just yourself, not as this half of a whole. And it always brings me back when Rich and I were apart and long distance and I was really, really struggling. I remember my sister and I went to a concert and we were having this great time and she was asking how I was doing. She knew I was having a hard time with the distance. And, you know, she's married and at the time she had one child. She has two now. And I remember her saying, you just have to know that, like, if it doesn't work out, if you can't overcome the distance or it doesn't work for whatever reason, like, you'll be okay. And she's like, you know, heaven forbid something were to happen to my husband, I would be very upset. Of course, I'd be, you know, massively affected, but I know that I could go on. And she said, you know, if something were to happen to my child, I don't know how I would deal with that. But, you know, you have to think about these things and how you would go on. And it's not the kind of happy smiles, rainbows, unicorns things, but there are dark things in life and we have to do the best to prepare ourselves to handle them.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'd say very, very few people get married with the intention of getting divorced. You know, everyone thinks it's going to last forever, but divorce does happen quite a lot. So,
I mean, illnesses happen, you know.
Yeah, like, you're right, anything can happen. And if your entire happiness is predicated on this relationship, then that's an indication that you've got work to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then, you know, equally, if we're going to be talking about loneliness, you like I said before, you can be lonely in a happy, healthy relationship, and you can have conversations about, maybe it's just, you know, I accept that you're really busy and you've got X, Y to do, but why don't we block off some time on a Friday where we can have a movie night, or we have, you know, we speak about the importance of date nights. You know, so if you're feeling lonely, I think date nights or date mornings or whatever, really, really effective way of helping to overcome that, because then you get the quality time that you're craving without it being a battle of wills of, you know, I need to do this, well, I need you to be present.
Yeah.
You don't have to come to that.
I think it's important to understand that life ebbs and flows, and in a lot of ways, it, you know, the older you get, the more busy you get. Especially people who have young families. I know people who have multiple small children feel like their relationship takes a complete backseat because, you know, one or both of you is working and then one of you is probably the primary caregiver to the children and the other person might work a bit more, whatever that is. You might have one parent working full-time, one parent working part-time and raising the kids, both of you working full-time and trying to coordinate raising the kids. And you can just start to feel that suddenly you're going in two opposite directions. And then you, together at the end of the day, and it's just like, all right, I'm exhausted, you know. So those regular date nights are massively important. But I think it's really important, especially if, I mean, in this, again, talking about people who live together or are in the same town, you need to make sure that you communicate about something real. I think once a day. So that means that more than just, how you doing? Yeah, I'm okay. What's up? Yep. What have you got on your agenda for today? Something beyond that. More like, how was your day? Tell me what you did. What do you think about this current issue in the world? I was thinking we should do this next year. What do you think about that? You need to connect on one real thing every day as a minimum. If you don't have kids, if you don't live in different apartments or houses or whatever, you should aim for more than that. But I think as a minimum, to feel like you have some form of connection, you need to have that real conversation once a day. But I think if you, and it's really important to also bear in mind that mental health issues can play a huge part in feeling lonely. We often get trapped in our own heads when we're going through periods of maybe anxiety or depression or other mental health issues. And I know that there's been periods before where I've been kind of in a bubble of either anxiety or depression. And I've said to Rich, like, you know, I just don't feel like you're making an effort right now, or that, you know, we're just not connecting, or I feel lonely. And he'll say, okay, I'm sorry you feel that way, but did you notice that I did this and I did this and I did this? And I think sometimes I didn't notice that he was doing those things that showed that he was making an effort to connect with me. But where I was so kind of in my own head with anxiety and depression, I wasn't seeing it. And it's important to separate that out, because that's a separate issue you need to work through. It doesn't mean your partner shouldn't support you or maybe make a bit more of an effort with you, but it's certainly, you know, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't address that. But there's also something else on that topic that isn't really mental health related, but, you know, we've talked a lot about the love languages before, and, you know, that's, you know, whether you need physical touch or words of encouragement or acts of service. You know, I think there's five, right? Mm-hmm. They've all gone out of my head. But you might feel like your partner isn't meeting your needs, or you're feeling lonely, you don't feel connected. And they, you know, a lot of people say, you know, actions speak louder than words and this and that. Two things. If you are not listening, you won't hear your partner's efforts. And if you aren't looking, you might not see their actions. Because, you know, say you really need acts of service. You need people to do your favors, help you out, take the kids off of your hands to feel loved. But maybe you guys haven't had that conversation. Maybe your partner doesn't know that. But maybe your partner is giving you lots of physical attention, hugging you a lot, but you're feeling like your needs aren't being met. You need to take a step back and look and say, where are they making the effort that I'm not seeing it? And I need to recognize that they are actually trying, because I know that's something that a lot of couples have had to address, and we've had to address it before. But I think sometimes the loneliness can be not a figment of our own imaginations, but because we're not seeing things clearly because of many different factors. But if it comes down to the fact that you are just kind of being neglected and you are actually lonely because it's a warranted feeling, what do you think couples should do to address that?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's genuine loneliness, and for me, this kind of comes back to the question before of almost the self-awareness of why are you in this relationship? Are you in this relationship because that person really makes you happy, but there's a trade-off that they're really busy? Okay, deal with it. If the relationship's actually not what you expected it to be, or you're in the relationship because you're just really hoping it will be something else, or you just desperately need to be with someone, you know, you can't force it. And it's possible that it's just not the right relationship for you. Cut your losses, move on, you know. But
I think there's a...
But if you're the problem, you know, if it's that you're desperate to be with someone, cutting losses and moving on, those problems are going to keep following you until eventually you're going to have to either deal with them or just keep repeating that cycle. And it's, you know, it's best to just deal with them. But I think a lot of times these are going to be healthy, positive, good relationships that just need a little bit of understanding, because it's, you know, especially right now with the state of the world, There's a lot of panic, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of people who are maybe having to work twice as hard to hope to keep their job, or people who, on the other side, maybe just need more reassurance that everything's okay. You know, so there's a lot going on right now where understanding is going to be needed on both sides of that coin.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's also important to remember that you should know your partner pretty well, and you should be able to recognize when you're feeling lonely and look at their behavior and see, well, I can just tell they have a lot on their mind right now, or that something's genuinely wrong, you know, that maybe they are actually being a bit cold or distant or whatever. And unfortunately, Rich's focused face is very similar to his pissed off face. So there's been a few instances in the past, you know, month or so since he's been going down this new kind of business venture route where he's had this look on his face. And I thought, oh, shit, is he pissed off at me? I'm like, hey, is everything okay? And what? Yeah, why? And I can just tell that he's really concentrating. You'll say, sorry, no, I'm just thinking about this, you know, this particular situation for work or whatever it is. And, you know, oh, okay, that's fine. And you know, there was probably a couple weeks where I had to ask it and to realize, okay, no, he's just actually got a lot on his mind. He's really focused. And, you know, you have to, you know, have to think about what that means for you if you're feeling lonely. And if it is a result because of a change of circumstances, like change in job location, you've got kids, you know, your relation, it can be really hard to accept as your relationship chart starts to change and evolve that it's not going to be what it was like when you first got together or when you were first married. If it stayed that way, that wouldn't really be great. Like, you should develop and grow as people and as a couple. So I know that I've had that problem, you know, that the first summer we spent together when we first met, was amazing, but our focus was solely 100% on each other. You know, Rich was working freelance and didn't do a great deal of work while I was there. And that month was literally just us traveling, seeing movies together, spending the days together, spending the nights together. Like, it was just like a vacation. And then we were apart, which obviously was horrible. And then Rich came and spent time in the States, and he was working freelance, staying with me and my family. And I was working all day, every day. And I had a huge adjustment issue to that. Probably way more than you did, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think I just felt like, oh, this isn't what, you know, this isn't the fairy tale that it was. It wasn't that we weren't still crazy about each other. We were.
But there was real life to do.
There was real life, which we didn't have before. We were in this bubble for a month, and you know, in that summer that was just, you know, it was everything I dreamed of hoping to meet. And then something you don't think about in your dreams is the day in and the day out and the monotony of just living life. So, you know, it's important to also manage your expectations too and understand that our expectations are in our mind because we kind of dream about them, and they can sometimes be on a pedestal and then not really possible to meet. So it's really about understanding what's reasonable across the board and what isn't. But, you know, if you are lonely, I think what you said, Rich, is true, that, you know, you might need to face the fact that this isn't the relationship to you. But I think you should only come to that point after trying a few different things. So if you're feeling really lonely and otherwise you guys are happy, but there's just not as much time for each other as there used to be, it needs to start with a conversation of, hey, you know what? I've been feeling lonely. I know you're really busy, or I know that I'm really busy, or our situation has changed. But I don't want this to become a thing. And let's talk about how to fix that. And then that might fix it. It might fix it for a few weeks, and then it might be something you guys have to keep working at. And unfortunately, that's just the case. But if your partner is making the effort and it's just something you have to work at, then that might just be what your relationship's going to be like. And that's okay as long as both parties are making the effort. If you raise the issue and they make effort once and then you mention it again and they're just, oh, stop bugging me, then, you know, that might be something where you maybe should go to therapy and address the issue.
Yeah, but, you know, on the subject of therapy, like, therapy is not something you should just wait until things are bad before you, like, no. It's a preventative measure as much as anything else. And if you view it like that, like, you don't take out insurance when someone's already robbed your house. Is there, like, just, like, as a well, okay, that's not just, okay, you don't get an alarm when someone's robbed your house. You put it there in advance as a deterrent to stop it happening in the first place. And that's,
well, and you don't take your car to the mechanic only when it's broken. You take it for maintenance.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And it's like, you know, we are wired normally to preserve the things we've got. You know, we view risk as the potential for losing something rather than missing out on something new. And that's why we wait until things go wrong. We're like, oh, well, now we need therapy because we're in a bad place and I'm scared of losing it. But we're not motivated necessarily as much by making it better or preserving it before it gets bad. And that's the shift that's needed, you know, like, so don't view therapy as this negative thing to save your relationship. View it as like, yeah, like you said, it's like a visit to the mechanic, just to fine tune, to
put some air in the tires, change the oil,
just change your perspective on things, get an outsider's opinion, help you keep things running smoothly. In the end of the day, view that as an investment too. Like, if you, you know, divorce is expensive. Let's say, you know, you're faced with losing half of your assets, and you've got all the costs involved, and you've got the emotional trauma involved. Like, in every conceivable way, divorce is expensive. So therapy, in comparison, is not. It's an investment. Your marriage is an investment. And, you know, it's an emotional investment, and we always say a relationship should be a net positive to your life. If it's not, then you need to address things. But, you know, so it should be bringing good to your life. And financially, losing all that can be pretty devastating too. So, you know, if therapy's not negative, it's not something to be ashamed of, it's not something to hide from, it's not something to wait until you're really on the ropes before you consider it.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, if you've brought it up and you've tried to work at it, or if your partner refuses to work at it and therapy doesn't work, or they won't do therapy, then that's probably the point when you need to think about, yeah, my needs aren't being met, they're obviously not a priority, I can't live with that. And then you need to explore, you know, what the answer is and what your options there. And it might be that it's not the right relationship for you. But I think it is normal to be lonely sometimes. Part of that is because of, you know, our moods, and not even a mental health thing. You know, even people who don't suffer with mental health issues, sometimes you just go through a period where you feel a little bit down and crappy, or something happens in life where you are affected. It could be the loss of a loved one, a loss of job, or, you know, just a change in circumstances that puts you in a funk. And it's a normal part of life sometimes. So it's knowing when it's an issue and what you should do about that.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that gives you a few different things to address and try.
Yeah, you know, just communicate.
Well, that's all we could have just said in the beginning then, if that's all
it is.
It would
have been a really short episode. But it is, yeah. You know, if you're feeling it, if you're feeling that way, communicate. Don't let it fester. Don't let it build up until it's a big blazing row and accusations and you don't care about me, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Just communicate, give each other the space to talk and hear each other, and just be realistic and be honest with yourself about whether this is a genuine problem, or are you taking it a bit too personally. Is this a relationship where you're going to be battling this feeling forever because actually they don't care as much as you'd like them to, you know? So just ask yourself the questions and communicate.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's knowing how to communicate. And part of that might be, you know, for instance, like you kind of said, the maintenance, addressing something before it's a big issue. Sometimes something will happen in our lives, or in, you know, Rich's personal life or whatever, that I see could change something, and it starts to change something. And so we've had conversations where it says, hey, like, I know that this is happening, and I could see that as a result, this might happen, and I'm concerned about that. And then you just talk about it. It's not saying, oh, I'm afraid you're going to do this. It's just talking about it. Talking. Just talk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that about does it for us this week. If you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, please don't hesitate to contact us either on Instagram or Twitter at Mr. Miss Distance, or you can find us at our website, longdistancemarriage.com, and we'll be happy to address any topics you feel pressing. Thanks. Bye.